tonight on our weekly comprehensive Bible study. From the brink of death to the promise of life, Abraham's journey reveals God's covenant power. Join us now for Abraham, the Father of Nations.
Abraham! Where was that from? I don't remember where that was from. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Last Christian. We are having a good old time. We're talking about Abraham. There's Isaac over there, and there's Abraham over there. That's AI for you. And we are looking into a lot of the things that are in other books at this point about the life of Abraham. So we're going to talk about those. And Joel, what do you think about what we've talked about so far?
Well, you know, last week I thought was excellent. And we didn't go very far in our study, which isn't, and that's nothing new for us, right?
But, it took a while to go a couple verses.
But I'm looking forward to continuing the discussion. We left them with a cliffhanger. Something bad's going to happen to Abraham. We left them with that, and so we'll finish that off at some point.
So, but it's pretty cool. I kind of like this story. I know we were right in the middle of Jasher.
Yeah.
Okay. Jasher is a bit Talmudic, so I think they embellish some of the stories just to get the point across, as opposed to my personal opinion that Jubilees is a little bit. It's more of an expansion of Genesis.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I put a lot more faith in that one. I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Where Jasher, I think they were just trying to, the Talmudic mindset, the rabbis, people have questions. Oh, what happened here? What happened there? So they tend to make up stories. I mean, you give them a little kudos. They make up a story based on other parts of scripture or history they may have heard of, and they kind of embellish it like you would a kid when you're telling the story of, your young life and how you used to fight dragons. Maybe it's true, maybe it isn't true.
Right.
Maybe that dragon was, the other high school team. You were the lions and they were the dragon. We don't know. Right. However, it's a really cool story.
It is.
On the other side of that, I find it hard to believe they would make messianic writings on their own. And they conspired to put basically Jesus in here. So, maybe it does have a little bit of credence to it.
I think there's a little bit of fact in everything. I don't care. But if anything, I think they may have embellished it, as we agree on. But I think they embellished it for a good reason and not for a bad reason, if that makes sense.
Yeah, their heart was in the right place, even though they did some kooky things. But before we get off down this Jasher rabbit trail, could you pray us in?
Sure. Father, we do come to you today, and we ask that you please bless this broadcast. Give David the words to say as he gives us this teaching today. And give me the questions to ask that someone out there has got in their mind that they might be led to you and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And we agree. So we were, I think, in the middle of Jasher chapter 8, right?
Yeah, about 18, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, good. Now, so just a little bit of a recap, or as Derek Prince would say, a recapitulation. It's because he was British. So we saw Abraham being born of Terah. We know that he started this fire, and that's what killed his brother, and then his brother Nahor, and then the brother's son Lot. He's kind of responsible for taking over, and then he married Sarah. And we couldn't find really in the Bible where it said that Sarah was his half sister.
Yeah.
But we saw where it said that, Abram and his daughter-in-law. So apparently she was, because Jubilees does have it where it's, hey, this is this, Sarai was the daughter of Abraham and another woman, not Abraham's mother. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at that. That's interesting, though, because we see Abraham said to the king, "Oh, this is my half sister," but that doesn't necessarily mean it's true, because Abraham lied a couple times.
Yes, he did, and a couple times to save his butt. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it does mean that yes, it's true that he said that. The question is what he said true? So that was something we were looking at, but Jubilee's kind of ironed it out for us, so that was pretty cool. Now, in Jasher, there's a little bit more of an embellished story where when Abram, now he was named Abram because Terah's father was named Abram, but he died. So he wanted to name his son after his father. So he had the same name. Don't know if that has any significance, but there it is.
Yeah, well, that happens in the present day.
You know? Yeah, happens all the time. Mm-hmm. I remember some ancestors of mine from 1610, and they give you last names back then because they were Dutch. And if you were the son of Harmon, your last name was Harmon's son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
All right? Mm-hmm. So if your name, one of them was Hendrick, but he was a son of Harmon. So it was Hendrick Harmonson.
Well, I mean,
but he wanted to name his son after his father, so the son was Harmon Hendrickson.
Well, David, look though at Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, Jesus, son of David, right? I mean, isn't that in the Bible, correct?
That's the way everything was in the Dutch. It was S-A-N. Actually, Mick means son too. Mm-hmm. So McDonald, you're the son of Donald. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's cool. Mick Mac, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
Or you got a Mick Burrito. I think they got Mick Burritos out there. Here's your Mick change. Okay. Thanks for Mick coming.
You're making me hungry for McDonald's. Okay, go
ahead. No, don't eat that. Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. All right, grass-fed and finished ribeye steak. How's that better?
Yeah, I like the ribeye steak part. Yeah, that's
all right, there you go.
That beats McDonald's. So, all right, go ahead.
All right, so Terah was having this kid named Abram, and then the wise men saw this giant star that was brighter than all the other stars, and it sucked up the four other stars in the sky, and they're like, something's up here. That's typical of God marking events. I mean, we've seen a lot of different events where the stars marked it, particularly one event where the Messiah was born, and it was a great big star that came.
Right.
And it fits in with the narrative of Abraham being a type of God coming to earth. And so these men told Nimrod, and Nimrod's like, they didn't tell Nimrod. Nimrod found out, and he's like, why didn't you tell us? He's like, so they told him, and basically Nimrod's like, all right, we have to kill your son or else he's going to take over and then I'm not going to be the king anymore.
Right.
I don't know why he would think he would live long enough for Abram to grow up, but they did live a long time back then. So, you know, up to that point, Terah was 200. They were in the 200s at this point, and Abraham didn't quite make that. He only made 175. So it started to come down from there, symbolizing, okay, this is a new era, not error. Whereas from the foundation of the world up until this time was what they called the age of chaos in the beginning.
Okay.
And then from there, it's the age of the law for 2,000 years. And then after that's the age of grace for 2,000 years. Yeah. And here we are at the end of age of grace, 6,000 years of earth history, about to end into the 1,000-year Sabbath or the 1,000-year rest, which is a day of, Jesus ruling on the earth and the earth having cool stuff again, like brontosauruses and things like that. And would it be brontosauri?
the plural of it?
The plural,
yeah.
I don't know. In other words, there'll be a bunch of them. But I want one. I want like a, I want a bunch of these cool animals, you know.
Why
and
not?
Yeah, they if we, don't
if
eat
we can
meat.
Have them. So. Yeah.
So here we are, and then so Tara's like, "Well, I don't want to kill my boy."
Right.
And so we're in the middle of that now. So
yeah, that's where we left off. That was the cliffhanger that we left everybody with.
Yeah.
Is here it is, Nimrod the king has decided that Abram's got to go. And so now daddy's got to go get the child and bring him to the king for imminent execution.
Mm-hmm.
Drum roll,
please. So I'll back up to 15. Then the king said to Terah, "I have been told that a son was yesternight born to thee, and after this manner was observed in the heavens at his birth. And now, therefore, give me the child, that we may slay him before his evil springs up against us, and I will give thee for his value thy house full of silver and gold." So he's going to get a house full of silver and gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he could sacrifice his son. We see that a lot today. People sacrifice children that are yet to be born because it's an inconvenience, or they want to do this or that or the
right.
other.
And
here we are. It's the same evil spirits behind it. And Terah, verse 17, answered the king and said to him, "My lord and king, I have heard thy words, and thy servant shall do all that his king desireth. But, my lord and king, I will tell thee what happened to me yesternight, that I may see what advice the king will give his servant. Then I will answer the king upon what he has just spoken." And the king said, "Speak." I do that when I answer the phone.
You do sometimes, yes.
And Terah said to the king, "Aon, son of Mored, came to me yesternight, saying, give unto me the great and beautiful horse that the king gave thee, and I will give thee silver and gold and straw and provender for its value." And I said to him, "Wait till I see the king concerning thy words, and behold, whatever the king saith, that I will I do." So this is Terah, the father of Abram, and he's like, he came to me last night, and I told him, "Give me that great, beautiful horse that the king has, and I'll give him silver and gold and straw, and I'll pay for the horse. And now, my lord and king, behold, I have made this thing known to thee, and the advice which my king will give unto me, his servant, that I will follow." So he asked the king, "What are you going to do, king? Because I want your great and beautiful horse. I'll give you gold and silver and provender."
Mm-hmm.
And the king heard the words of Terah, and his anger was kindled because he considered him in the light of a fool. And the king answered Terah and said to him, "Art thou so silly, ignorant, and deficient understanding to do this thing, to give thy beautiful horse for silver or gold or even straw for in provender? Art thou so short of silver and gold that thou should doest this thing, because thou cannot obtain straw and provender to feed thy horse? And what is silver and gold to thee, or straw and provender, that thou should give us away that fine horse which I gave thee, like there was none to be had on the whole earth?" And the king left off speaking, and Terah answered the king, saying, "Like unto this has the king spoken to his servant." Mm-hmm. He's like, "Why'd you get that horse away? What's the matter with you?" And he's like, "Well, now you're asking me to give away my son."
Right.
Yep. Uh-huh. So 26, "I beseech thee, my lord and king." You see how it's a cool embellishment of a story? It sounds like he's telling a parable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
"I beseech thee, my lord and king, what is this which thou didst say unto me, saying, give thy son that we may slay him, and I will give thee silver and gold for his value? For what shall I do with silver and gold after the death of my son? Who shall inherit me? Surely then at my death the silver and gold will return to my king who gave it." And when the king heard the words of Terah and the parable which he brought concerning the king, it grieved him greatly, and he was vexed at this thing, and his anger burned within him. So this is getting interesting now, right?
Yeah, he's getting irritated.
Terah saw the anger of the king and was kindled against him, and he answered the king, saying, "All that I have is in the king's power. Whatever the king desire to do to his servant, let and let that let him do. Even my son, he is in the king's power without value in exchange, he and his two brothers that are older than he. And the king said to Terah, no, but I will purchase your son for a price. You purchase your younger son for a price, meaning Abram. And Terah answered the king, saying, I beseech thee, my lord and king, let thy servant speak a word before thee. So here we are, and this is where Abram learned it, I guess, and all the Jews. They're making deals. and let the king hear the word of his servant. And Terah said, let my king give me 3 days' time till I consider this matter within myself and consult with my family concerning the words of my king. And he pressed the king greatly to agree to this. So, you know, now, you know, he's up to something.
Yeah.
Give me three days.
It's a plan. He's got to go. He's got a plan because this is not good.
Yeah, he's got a plan. Mm-hmm. And it's like that. Remember the old song? Give me three steps. Give me three steps, man.
Mm-hmm. Leonard Skinner, you better believe it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of my favorite groups.
That's what he's doing. Give me three steps. And the king hearkened unto Terah, and he did so and gave him 3 days' time. And Terah went out from the king's presence, and he came home to his family and spoke to them all the words of the king, and the people were greatly afraid.
Yeah.
All right. So here comes the fun part. And it was in the third day that the king sent to Terah, saying, send me thy son for a price, as I spoke to thee. And thou shouldest thou not do this, I will send and slay all thou hast in thy house, so that thou shalt not even have a dog remaining. So he had a dog.
Yeah.
And then Terah hastened, as the thing was urgent from the king, and he took a child from one of his servants. Ooh, so now he's got a handmaid, and it was born that day. So maybe he was waiting for this kid to be born so he could take this one.
Yeah, either that or the Lord.
So he
provided.
Took the child from one of his servants, which his handmaid had born to him that day, and Terah brought the child to the king and received value for him. So we're seeing a messianic picture here.
Yeah.
Someone else is paying the price.
Yeah.
For Abraham, this kid, as a baby.
Feel sorry for the handmaid. She got
right.
She got the shaft.
Yep. And the Lord was with Terah in this matter, that Nimrod might not cause Abram's death. And the king took the child from Terah, and with all his might dashed his head to the ground, for he thought it had been Abram, that poor little baby.
Yeah.
And this was concealed from him that day, and it was forgotten by the king, as it was the will of providence not to suffer Abram's death. And they capitalized providence, so it's the Lord's will. So that's interesting. So he took another child and said, here's Abram, but it wasn't Abram. So Abram got spared.
Yeah.
And Terah took Abram, his son, secretly, together with his mother and nurse, and he concealed them in a cave. And he brought them their provisions monthly. So they're in a cave and bringing stuff all the time. And the Lord was with Abram in the cave, and he grew up, and Abram was in the cave 10 years. And the king and his princes and soothsayers and sages thought that the king had killed Abram. So that's a little bit more to the story, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I still feel sorry for the baby, though.
Oh, absolutely. Let me see. I want to get into more.
Okay.
Now, the king is servant to serve God. Ah, here we go. Yep. We are in chapter 9 now.
Okay.
Of Jasher.
Okay.
And this, you know, I didn't realize it. I don't think we put it together a lot of times, the timelines of this stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah, I used to think that the Bible was in chronological order. I really did. And I figured out later, no, it's not.
Well, we got to realize, you know, now we're thinking, oh, Abraham and Moses and all this stuff. Moses was 400 and something years later.
Yeah.
So imagine 400 years ago, we're thinking, you know, the Vikings came to America and Columbus and all this stuff. And we think that like an ancient history. So Abram was ancient history to Moses.
Right. Yeah.
And Moses.
Yeah, exactly.
Torah.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then David was how many years later after that?
Yeah.
And we just think, oh, this is one storyline, and you know, it happened in a weekend.
Yeah.
And now this is literally the course of from this point with Abram to Jesus was 2,000 years.
Yeah, I was fixing to say we're talking about millennia here, not just centuries. Yeah.
Right. And so now the question is, when we look back, now we're thinking, whoa, how long ago was Jesus? That's how long ago Abraham was to them.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the apostles and all the disciples, Abraham was 2,000 years ago to them.
Yeah.
So that's just crazy. And so here we go. This is how far back he goes. Check this out. Okay. And in Haran, in chapter 9, verse 1, and Haran, the son of Terah, Abram's oldest brother, took a wife in those days.
Okay.
Haran was 39 years old when he took her, and the wife of Haran conceived and bare a son and called his name Lot. So Haran had Lot.
Okay.
And she conceived again and bare a daughter and called her name Milcah. Now, she is going to play, you know, into the story later on as well. And she again conceived and bare a daughter, and she called her name Sarai.
Okay, we know who, we know where that goes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Haran had Sarai. So is it a half-sister or is it a niece?
I don't know.
Because Lot, so Sarai was the brother or sister of Lot, apparently. So there's Milcah conceived, and so she had a Lot, and then Milcah, and then Sarai. Haran was 42 years old when he begat Sarai, which was in the 10th year of the life of Abraham. So that fits the narrative. He's 10 years older, right?
Right. Yeah, it does fit.
Okay. But this says Haran had it. Now, mind you, when they say son of back then, it could mean grandson, great grandson.
Yeah.
They didn't have any words for grandson or great grandson.
Okay.
So if I were to read this, it was the son, excuse me, she was the daughter of Terah, but the granddaughter of Terah.
Okay.
Through Haran.
I never realized that they didn't have the grand thing in there yet.
No, they don't. Begat this and begat that.
Yeah.
It's not a, it could be several generations.
Okay.
Unless you know, the son of, it basically means the progeny.
Okay.
So it seems to me Abram's oldest brother Haran had Sarai, and it was basically his niece. And he was 10 years older.
Okay.
According to the book of Jasher, if that's correct.
Yeah.
All right.
And again, we don't count on these as canon, but we do count on them for reference and for additional information.
Yes. Corroborating info.
There you go. Yeah.
And Abram and his mother and nurse went out from the cave, and the king and his subjects had forgotten the affair of Abram. So here it is 10 years later, and the king's like, oh, yeah, that was 10 years ago I killed that kid, Abram.
Yeah,
so
he didn't have to worry
about
it.
Nobody knew nothing.
It's just somebody new in town, right? Kind of.
Well, here's the deal. We didn't really go back into Nimrod's town.
Oh, okay. They just emerged
you know,
from
Noah,
the cave.
Noah lived up on a mountain still, so he built a tent, and he was still up there, you know, doing Noah things. He still lived for quite some time after this.
Okay.
Imagine living that long. And when so in verse 5, Jasher 9:5, it says, and when Abram came out of the cave, he went to Noah and his son Shem, and he remained with them to learn the instruction of the Lord and his ways, And no man knew where Abram was, and Abram served Noah and Shem, his son, for a long time.
Long time. Okay.
Yeah.
Years and years.
So Abram was in Noah's house 39 years.
That is a long time.
Okay. So we got, he's 10 years old, and then the 39 years, that's a jubilee for you.
Okay.
And now we're going to see some cool things happen, because there's reasons for these numbers.
Okay.
So Abram was in Noah's house 39 years, and Abram knew the Lord from 3 years old. And he went in the ways of the Lord until the day of his death, as Noah and his son Shem had taught him. And all the sons of the earth in those days greatly transgressed the Lord, against the Lord, and they rebelled against him, and they served other gods, and they forgot the Lord who had created them in the earth. Mm-hmm. And the inhabitants of the earth made unto themselves at that time every man his god, gods of wood and stone, which could neither speak nor hear nor deliver, and the sons of men served them, and they became their gods. Okay? And the king and all his servants, and Terah with all his household, were then the first of those that served gods of wood and stone. So here's Abraham's father.
Yeah.
Serving the gods of wood and stone.
Yeah.
And Terah had 12 gods of large size, made of wood and of stone, after the 12 months of the year. So now he's mimicking the Matzeroth, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And he served each one monthly, and every month Terah would bring his meat offering and drink offering to his gods, and thus did Terah all his days. And in all that generation were wicked in the sight of the Lord, and thus they made every man his god, but they forsook the Lord who had created them. And there was not a man found in those days in the whole earth who knew the Lord, for they served each man his own god, except Noah and his household.
Mm-hmm.
And all those who were under his counsel knew the Lord in those days. And Abram, the son of Terah, was waxing great in those days in the house of Noah, and no man knew it, and the Lord was with him. We're going to get into more of this in the second half.
Yeah.
So this gets wild. Noah just wiped out an entire, well, he didn't do it. He saw the wiping out of the entire planet. And then he's like, hey, I got my kids, and now we can do this again.
He sees
every last one of his kids doing the same thing.
You got to wonder, David, didn't it? It had to have gone through his mind. Do I have to do this flood thing again?
Yeah, it had to have gone through his mind, right? Well, before the next judgment comes, ladies and gentlemen, I would suggest that you receive the Lord Jesus, because he paid off your sins. And the story is going to get even more wonderful as time goes on here. And then I suspect there'll be more writings to write about the things that are about to happen. Well, we'll see you guys in the second half. Bye.
The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. For every broadcast and message, we rely on you to keep this mission alive. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net, where every fully tax-deductible gift matters. Or you can help by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book. And now, through our partnership with the Israel Institute of Biblical Studies, you can register for courses that take you deeper into the Word of God. Students save 30% on individual classes and 45% on group courses. Remember, every donation or purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. So visit lastchristian.net today. Stand and pray with us and support the mission.
Have you ever wondered what lies beyond the veil of what we call reality, what the mainstream refuses to acknowledge and the church too often fears to confront? Every night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, Shadows of a Greater Reality dares to pull back that veil, exposing the hidden, the mysterious, and the prophetic. Hosted by Nestor Arce and David Paxton, together with guest experts from around the world, this gripping hour explores the supernatural, the unexplained, and the biblically prophetic connections that are shaping our world in real time. From shadow governments to spiritual warfare, ancient prophecies to current day phenomena, if you think it's just conspiracy, think again. Tune in nightly at 10 p.m. Central to Shadows of a Greater Reality right here on Revelation Radio, where nothing is filtered, nothing is censored, and nothing is off limits. Because the truth is stranger and more urgent than fiction.
Hey, everybody. We're back off the mountain with Noah and Shem, Abram. And remember, he was up there for 39 years. Now, imagine how long Noah lived after the flood. Another 300 years. So this is kind of where we're at. You know? And so he's having kids and grandkids and great-grandkids even after the flood. Because he lived on to 900 and something years old, right?
Yeah.
And Shem lived even longer because he wasn't born until, Noah was like 600. Imagine being 600 years old and having a kid.
Yeah.
some people believe that Shem was actually the originator of the order of Melchizedek.
Oh, okay.
The priesthood.
Okay.
Because it's basically Melchizedek. In the Hebrew, Melek is king, and then Zedek is righteousness. Mm. That's where we get Zadok priests from, too, which were the Essenes.
Okay.
They were the righteous ones of Zadok. But anyway, that's where all the words come from. So Abram, so he grows up. He's 10 years old. Then at 10 years old, they say, hey, listen, cave's getting a little small for us. Let's move up to Noah's house. So he goes up with Noah, and... So just to recap the story, basically everybody on the earth, even then, now here's, hundreds of thousands of people again, because remember, it's a couple hundred years later. So there was time for all of them to have all these kids, and it just multiplied and multiplied.
Mm-hmm.
So now we got this great number. And then Nimrod, he's building ziggurats and stuff like that. So they're looking at Abram like he was... the Messiah that was going to come and take over. So they thought they killed him, but they didn't kill him. And it's kind of the same gist of a story when Satan thought he killed off all the lineage for the Messiah.
Right.
And he forgot about the daughters of Zelophehath. Remember them?
Okay.
And that's how Jesus actually gained the legal throne, the legal authority of the throne.
Right to it.
Because Satan thought he killed off all the offspring, and then that would ruin the prophecy that the son of David would sit on the throne. And so he ruined that, and there's another story. We'll get into that on another episode.
Epic
but just remember the daughter. Yeah.
It was an epic fail for him.
Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody knows the daughters of Zelophehath. Come on.
We'll get there.
Yeah, let's talk about Abram. So here he's on the mountain, and we're at the point where Abram, the son of Terah, was waxing great in those days in the house of Noah, and nobody knew it, and the Lord was with him. So he's becoming great. He's looking at his niece, which he calls his half-sister. I don't know how all that worked, but according to this, that's what she was.
Okay.
And the Lord gave Abraham understanding, or Abram, understanding in his heart. I'm in Jasher 9, verse 12. We're going to continue this story.
Okay.
And now it gets cool with some of the stuff he does. All right. And it just gives it credence. So Noah is teaching, Noah and Shem are teaching Abram the ways of the Lord. And Abram's like, wow, I love this Lord. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see he's getting kind of upset with all these other gods, and this is the reason he was called out by faith, Abraham, right? Mm-hmm. But we never really look at, okay, what really happened and why? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
okay.
So here we are. This is why. Lord gave Abram an understanding heart, and he knew all the works of that generation were vain, and that all their gods were vain and were of no avail. And Abram saw the sun shining upon the earth. And Abram said unto himself, surely now this sun that shines upon the earth is God, and I will serve him.
Amen.
Right? Now he's, okay, let's try this sun god thing out, right? And Abram served the sun in that day, and he prayed to him. And when evening came, the sun set as usual. And Abram said within himself, surely this cannot be God.
Right.
And Abraham, because it went down, right?
Uh-huh.
And right. Abraham still continued to speak within himself. Who is he who made the heavens and the earth, who created upon the earth? Where is he? And light and night darkened over him. And he lifted up his eyes towards the west, north, south, and east, and he saw that the sun had vanished from the earth, and the day became dark. And Abram saw the stars and moon before him, and he said, surely this is the God who created the whole earth as well as man, and behold, these his servants are gods around him. So there's the sun and the moon, and all these other servants of the stars, right?
Okay.
And Abraham served the moon and prayed to it all that night.
Ouch.
And in the morning when it was light and the sun shone upon the earth as usual, Abram saw all the things that the Lord God had made upon the earth. And Abraham said unto himself, surely these are not gods that made the earth and all mankind, but these are the servants of God. And Abram remained in the house of Noah, and there knew the Lord and his ways, and he served the Lord all the days of his life. And all that generation forgot the Lord and served other gods of wood and stone and rebelled all their days. All right. Sounds a little embellishing to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, really right there right at the very beginning, you said, you know, he saw the light and, you know, and he thought that was God. And I agreed with that. I was like, yeah, amen. Because you hadn't finished the part yet where he's praying to the sun. I'm just mm-hmm. thinking he's seeing the light, basically. So, you know, I want to make that clear for anybody that heard that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just in case. Clarified.
Yeah, I got to. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's like clarified butter. And Abraham said to himself, surely these are not gods that made the earth. Okay. And they rebelled all their days. Verse 20, then King Nimrod reigned securely, and all the earth was under his control, and all the earth was of one tongue and words of union. So mm-hmm. they spoke alike, too. So they had one language, but they spoke with the same mindset. That's basically what it's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And all the princes of Nimrod and his great men took counsel together, put Mitzrayim, Cush, and Canaan with their families, and they said to him, and they said to each other, come, let us build ourselves a city and in it a strong tower and its top reaching to heaven. And we will make ourselves famed so that we may reign upon the whole world in order that the evil of our enemies may cease from us, that we may reign mightily over them and that they may not become we may not become scattered over all the earth on account of their wars. And they all went before the king, and they told the king these words, and the king agreed with them in this affair, and he did so. And all the families assembled, consisting of about 600,000 men. Now, remember, Noah's still on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And just this faction was 600,000 men. Imagine seeing that, knowing they're all your kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's being mad at them because they're all going off the rails.
Yeah.
So then it goes into Shinar and stuff, building all them. And so that's just a really interesting story to surmise that he grew up with Noah, and that's how he became. Well, he learned righteousness. Mm-hmm. He wanted to seek the Lord. And then let me see where else. Three divisions. There's a lot of fluff here. There's the tower. Peleg and Eber died. Sons of Gomer. Let me see here. I'm looking for a cool story. And Nimrod and Cush was in the land. Abram. Okay, here we go. Yeah, this is a cool part. We're going to jump over to chapter 11. And Nimrod, son of Cush, was still in the land of Shinar. And he reigned over it and dwelt there. And he built cities in the land of Shinar. So this is a pretty big place. It's not just,
Yeah, it's got to be. Because
There's multiple cities in Shinar.
Yeah.
And these are the names of the four cities which he built, and he called them after the occurrences which happened to them in the building of the tower. The first he called Babel, saying, because the Lord there confounded the language of the whole earth, and the name of the second he called Erech, because the Lord, from there God dispersed them. Third he called Eched, saying that there was a great battle at that place. And the fourth he called Kalna, because his princes and mighty men were consumed there, and they vexed the Lord and rebelled and transgressed against him. And when Nimrod had built these cities in the land of Shinar, he placed in the remainder of his people and his princes and his mighty men that were left in his kingdom. And Nimrod dwelt in Babel, and there he renewed his reign over the rest of his subjects. And he reigned securely. And the subject and princes of Nimrod called his name Amraphel, saying that at the tower his princes and men fell through his means. All right, so they called him Amraphel. I don't know what that means. I'll have to look that one up.
Okay.
But there's other names. So if you see other names in history books and stuff, and one comes up Amraphel, it's corroborated here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And notwithstanding, Nimrod did not return to the Lord, and he continued in wickedness and teaching wickedness to the sons of men. And Mardon, his son, was worse than his father.
Ouch.
And continued to add to the abominations of his father. And he caused the sons of men to sin. Therefore, it is said, from the wicked goeth forth wickedness. And at that time, there was war between the families of the children of Ham. So here's all Noah's kids. He's looking at them, and they're all trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
You know, like Thanksgiving dinner. You know what I'm saying? And you're bringing up politics. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Mankind is just horrible.
Yeah.
As they were dwelling in the cities which they had built. And Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, went away from the families of the children of Ham, and he fought with them and subdued them, and went to the five cities of the plain and fought against them and subdued them and were under his control. And he served him 12 years, and he gave them a yearly tax. At that time died Nahor, son of Sarug, in the 49th year of the life of Abram, son of Terah. So this kind of overlap, because if he lived with Noah for 39 years, that means here we are at that time. And in the 50th year of the life of Abram, son of Terah, Abram came forth from the house of Noah and went to his father's house. There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. So the same time when Nahor died, son of Sarug, then that's when Abram moved out. And Abram knew the Lord, and he went in his ways and instructions, and the Lord his God was with him. So here, this gets fun. And Terah his father was in those days still captain of the host of King Nimrod. So here's his dad. He's still working for Nimrod 50 years later, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he still followed strange gods. So Abram came to his father's house and saw 12 gods standing there in their temples. Mm-hmm. And the anger of Abram was kindled when he saw these images in his father's house. So he comes down from living with Noah off the mountain. He sees all these images. His father's still doing the same crap, you know?
Right.
So he gets mad. So check out what he does. And Abram said, as the Lord liveth, these images shall not remain in my father's house. So shall the Lord who created me do unto me if in 3 days' time I do not break them all. So he basically gave himself an ultimatum. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're going to break these or else the Lord's going to break me. And Abram went from them, and his anger burned within him. And Abram hastened and went out from the chamber to his father's outer court, and he found his father sitting in the court and all his servants with him. And Abram came and sat before him. So here he's hanging out with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And Abram asked his father, saying, Father, tell me, where is God who created the heaven and earth and all the sons of men upon the earth, and who created thee and me? And Terah answered his son Abram and said, behold, those who created us are all with us in the house. So he, imagine this. Now he's
just
flipping
left
out.
God,
right?
He left God out of it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And Abraham said to his father, my Lord, show them to me, I pray thee. And Terah brought Abram into the chamber of the inner court, and Abram saw, and behold, the whole room was full of gods of wood and stone, 12 great images, and others less than they, without number. So he couldn't number how many other little trinkets and idols he had. And Terah said to his son, behold, these are they which made us all thou seest upon the earth, and which created me and thee and all mankind. So he's saying, here's all this wood and stone that made us. Yep. And Terah bowed down to his gods, and he then went away from them. And Abram, his son, went away with him. All right, you ready for the fun part?
Yes. This is going to be good.
And when Abram had gone from them, he went to his mother and sat before her and said to his mother, behold, my father has shown me those who made heaven and earth and all the sons of men. Now, therefore, hasten and fetch me a kid from the flock and make it of savory meat that I may bring it to my father's gods as an offering for them to eat. And perhaps I may thereby become acceptable to them. And his mother did so, and fetched a kid, and made him savory meat thereof, and brought it to Abram. And Abram took the savory meat from his mother, and brought it before his father's gods. And he drew nigh to them, that they might eat. And Terah, his father, did not know of it. So he put a bowl of stew in front of him.
Yeah, okay.
And Abram saw on the day when he was sitting amongst them, they had no voice, no hearing, no motion, and not one of them could stretch forth his hand to eat. And Abraham mocked them, saying, surely the savory meat that I have prepared has not pleased them, or perhaps it was too little for them, and for that reason they would not eat. Therefore, tomorrow I will prepare fresh savory meat, better and more plentiful than this, in order that I may see the result. So he's like, all right, let me give them some more, see if they eat that. And it was on the next day that Abram directed his mother concerning the savory meat, and his mother rose and fetched 3 fine kids from the flock, and she made of them some excellent savory meat, such as her son was fond of, and she gave it to her son Abram, and Terah, his father, did not know of it. And Abram took the savory meat from his mother and brought it before his father's gods into the chamber, and he came nigh unto them that they might eat. And he placed it before them, and Abraham sat before them all day, thinking perhaps they might eat. So he's waiting for these stone statues to eat.
He wanted to see this.
Yeah. And Abraham viewed them, and behold, they had neither voice nor hearing, nor did one of them stretch forth his hand to eat the meat. And in the evening of that day, at the house, Abram was clothed with the Spirit of God. All right, so here's the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And he called out and said, woe unto my father and this wicked generation, whose hearts are all inclined to vanity, who serve these idols of wood and stone, which can neither eat, smell, hear, nor speak, and have mouths without speech, eyes without sight, ears without hearing, and hands without feeling, and legs that cannot move. Like them are those that made them, and trust in them. So he's like, you made this thing and you're trusting in it. You're just as bad as they are. You're useless. Can't do any of this stuff. So when Abram saw all these things, his anger was kindled against his father, and he hastened and took a hatchet. Check this out. So he took a hatchet.
This is a good part.
Yeah. Came into the chamber of the gods and broke his father's gods. And when he had done breaking the images, he placed the hatchet in the hand of the great God, which was before them, and he went out. So he gets the biggest statue, right? He chops all the other ones up into little bits, and he puts the axe in the hands of the big one. And then he calls his father in. And went out, and Terah's father came home, for he had heard at the door the sound of striking of the hatchet. He's like, what's going on? So Terah came into the house to know what this was about. And Terah, having heard the noise of the hatchet in the room of images, ran to the room of images, and he met Abram going out. So there's Abram going out, right?
Uh-huh.
And Terah entered the room and found all the idols fallen down and broken, and the hatchet in the hand of the largest, which was not broken. And the savory meat which Abram, his son, had made was still before them. And when Terah saw, his anger was greatly kindled when he saw this. So Terah's ticked off now, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And he hastened and went from the room to Abram. And he found Abram, his son, still sitting in the house. And he said to him, "What is this work thou hast done to my gods? Abram, why'd you do this?" And Abraham answered Terah's father and said, "Not so, my lord. For I brought savory meat before them, and when I came nigh unto them with the meat that they might eat, they all at once stretched forth their hands to eat before the great one had put forth his hand to eat." So they tried to get the stew, so he chopped them up.
It's a good story. So,
It really is. So Abraham's mocking his father right here.
Right, right.
Because he knows what he's going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And the large one saw their works that they did before him, and his anger was violently kindled against them. And he went and took the hatchet that was in the house and came to them and broke them off. So now the big one goes into the house to get the hatchet. And behold, the hatchet is yet in his hand, as thou see it. Uh-huh. So you see what happened. I fed him meat. The other ones tried to eat it before he did, so he chopped them up. What's the problem? And Terah's anger was kindled against his son Abram when he spoke this. And Terah said to Abram, his son, in his anger, "What is this tale that thou hast told? Thou speakest lies to me. Is there in these gods spirit, soul, or power to do all you have told me? And are they not wood and stone? And have I not made them? And canst thou speak such lies, saying that the large God was with them, smote them? It is thou that did this, and did place the hatchet in his hands, and then say as he smote them all." And verse 43, and Abraham said, "Aha! Now you're getting it."
Uh-huh, yeah.
"You made all these dudes, okay? Uh-huh. You know they can't move, they can't talk, they can't eat, and you know that, but you think they created you." So here we go. And Abraham answered his father and said to him, "And how canst thou serve these idols in whom there is no power to do anything? Can those idols in which you trusted deliver you? Can they hear the prayers when you call upon them? Can they deliver thee from the hands of thy enemies? Or will they fight thy battles for thee against thy enemies, that thou should serve wood and stone, which can neither speak nor hear? And now surely it is not good for thee, nor for the sons of men, that they are connected with thee to do these things. Are you so silly, so foolish, or so short of understanding that you will serve wood and stone and do after this manner? And forget the Lord God who made heaven and earth, and who created you in the earth, and thereby being a great evil upon your souls in this matter, serving wood and stone."
Amen.
Boy, yeah. I'm gonna cut that off there. Yeah, that is powerful.
He let him have it with both barrels on that one.
Yeah, they were after that food they made him. Because surely they can eat. So, I'm going to leave this here because it just speaks to somebody had this wisdom that wrote down the story. So this is, a true and accurate story of Abram. That was extremely wise, to do something like that. Instead of just saying, "Oh, they're no good." And then, there you go. Yes, he is.
Yeah. How old was Abram at this point?
He's 50.
50. Okay. All right. So he wasn't some little... He wasn't some little kid,
Yep.
What he had to say, Daddy might not have liked it. He might not have wanted to agree with it. But, I mean, when you are presented with something that makes complete sense and you have been following something that makes no sense, it has to make an impression.
Yeah, and he just outright asked him, "Hey, what, you don't believe they could do that?" So, and he made him say it himself. No, uh-huh. They can't do that. Oh, but you're worshiping them.
That had to be a jolt to his system, you know. And who else was around there to hear it as well? I mean, that's not covered right there, but you can better believe that there was people there. All right, David, we didn't do it in the first half, so I'm going to put it up here now, okay? The Last Christian Radio Show is broadcasting truth to a world in desperate need of it. But here's the truth you may not know. This broadcast exists because of you. We're 100% listener-supported. We don't take government grants. We don't bow to advertisers. We rely on people like you, those who believe in what we're doing, those who want to see the truth preserved and boldly proclaimed. There are two powerful ways you can stand with us right now. First, of course, you can give to us directly, a one-time gift, a monthly commitment, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. It makes a difference. Just visit lastchristian.net and click Partner with Us, or now there is a button on there also that says Donate. Second, you can support us simply by shopping. When you purchase from our trusted affiliates, a portion goes straight to the support of this ministry without costing you a penny more. So grab your morning boost with Everyday Dose Coffee, stock up on quality gear at the Conservative Store, fuel your body with Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, or dive deep into Scripture with resources from Christian Book. You may even learn Biblical Hebrew and more through the Israel Institute of Biblical Studies with discounts of up to 45% exclusively through the link on our site. Now, these are brands we believe in, and they believe in us, so why not shop with a purpose? Go to lastchristian.net, click on the Donate button or the Partner with Us button, and you'll find links to give directly or shop through our affiliates. Together, let's keep proclaiming the gospel and preparing the church and standing for truth. Like I said, we didn't do that in the first half, so I figured before we run out of time, because we've pretty much covered the subject for this week, right?
Yeah, we're done here, and next week we're going to get into the call and covenant that he had. So now we see, you know, here's a big reason for him to get out of his country, because everybody's, you know, doing these idol things.
Right.
And so is God calls him out. So we're going to see the promise of a land and a blessing. We're going to see him go to Canaan, which is now Israel.
Right.
You know, and then he returns and separates from Lot. Lot chooses Sodom. We're going to see the War of the Kings in Genesis 14. We're going to see the covenant ceremony foretold about, you know, we talked about Moses being 400 years later. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be fun. And you know, a little later on down the road, we're going to realize that he was old for a reason.
Yeah.
Because now every single descendant of Isaac is going to know that they are there supernaturally.
Amen.
Because there's a supernatural birth by him. So, Lord willing, we'll see you guys next time on Last Christian. In the meantime, you better receive the Lord. He's coming
back.
Thank you
for spending this hour with the Last Christian. If this broadcast strengthens your faith and cuts through the noise with biblical truth, please help us keep it on the air. Your support, large or small, makes a real difference. Give today at lastchristian.net. That's lastchristian.net. We're back on the air every night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, with another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. Set a reminder, tell a friend, and grow with us in God's Word as we stand with Israel, contend for truth, and point people to Jesus. Stay connected, pray for this ministry, and partner with us at lastchristian.net. From all of us here, thank you for listening and for standing with us. We'll meet you right back here tomorrow night, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, on www.revelationradio.net.
If you are hungry to learn more about Bible Scripture and wish to gain a greater insight into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you, then we invite you to join Dudley Anderson every evening for his internationally syndicated and powerful radio broadcast, Insight, a half-hour Bible talk show featuring renowned Bible teachers and guests, where faith meets clarity, and God's truth meets everyday life. Each and every night, Dudley brings you fresh perspectives, biblical wisdom, and heart-stirring teaching. Because the more we open Scripture, the more it opens for us. Insight, a part of his ministry at SureReality.net, explores timeless truths, and discovers the sure reality of Christ's love, hope, and purpose. Don't miss a single broadcast of Insight with Dudley Anderson, every night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio, where faith comes alive, one Bible verse and one exciting scripture at a time.